Blog Talk Radio.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest spring, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ the Lord, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord. Darkness seems to hide His face. I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil.
Internet world, welcome to the Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble. So thankful once again to be able to come to you on this Monday, April 8th, 2024. And thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me today. As I mentioned, today is Monday, April 8th, 2024. This is, of course, Solar Eclipse Day. There has been so much hype about this event. I thought I would take just a couple of minutes here in the open to just kind of go over a few things, set the record straight, help guide us through all of the things that are happening, maybe give a bit of a Christian perspective on the solar eclipse. Remember, 7 years ago, we had one similar to this one. Then we had the four blood moons back in, I think it was 2015. And, you know, during this solar eclipse, the moon is entirely immersed in the Earth's shadows and can take on a real look to it that is amazing. What do we say about this from a biblical perspective? A couple of things, though. Celestial phenomenon in the Bible can carry profound spiritual meanings. It can serve as signs and symbols, really, of God's sovereignty and His divine plan for us. We look in the book of Genesis, we read of the creation account where God sets the sun, moon, and stars in the skies for marking seasons, days, and years. So from the very beginning, the celestial bodies were ordained by God to declare His glory and to serve as signs for His people. Now, look throughout Scripture. Solar, lunar eclipses, they're sometimes used as symbolic language to depict cosmic disturbances that accompany significant events, especially those pertaining to the end times. Jesus alluded to such signs when he spoke about the signs of his return. You can see that in Mark 13, Luke 21, Matthew 24. What he says in Luke 21 is significant, and there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So here, Jesus is portraying or painting a vivid picture of cosmic upheaval just before his return. Now, while eclipses may not necessarily be the exact signs he's referring to, they do serve as a reminder of the events that will mark the culmination of human history. They prompt us to think seriously about Jesus' admonition to be vigilant and spiritually prepared for his coming. I think that's what we need to think about today. Whether or not this is exactly what Jesus is referring to here in the Olivet Discourse, it reminds us to be spiritually ready. And it can be a sign, of course, of judgment. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 6 when the tribulation period starts, verses 12 through 14. The Apostle John is describing a series of cosmic disturbances, which herald the day of the Lord. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of the heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of place. So here in Revelation 6, we have the darkening of the sun, the reddening of the moon. It's a striking resemblance to what Jesus was saying. And it's imagery that gets our attention. It's conveying spiritual truth. And these descriptions should evoke in us a sense of awe and reverence for the power and the majesty of God's ultimate judgment upon the earth. So in conclusion, contemplating this upcoming solar eclipse, I don't think we need to be consumed by fear or over-speculation about end times, but be reminded of God's sovereignty over the cosmos. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19. And let's remember exactly what Jesus says, Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. This eclipse, again, should reserve us a poignant reminder of the need for spiritual readiness. Just as the sun is temporarily obscured during the eclipse, so too can the light of God's truth be dimmed in our lives by the cares and the distractions of this world. We are called, by the way, as those that should shine our light in the darkness, reflecting the glory of our Creator in a world that is shrouded by sin and despair. With all that said, just enjoy this eclipse. Keep that in mind and always be ready. Today on the cross in the desert, I want to magnify the power of the gospel to break hardened hearts. You know, Paul himself said in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God that brings salvation." And I have a great example of the power of the gospel to take the hardened hearts, the hardest of hardened hearts, and melt those hardened hearts to be useful vessels for his glory. And I'm speaking of this morning a man by the name of Afshin Javed. He was a hardened heart, a Hezbollah fighter. And his testimony has been on the internet for a long time. And recently CBN did an interview with him. But this particular soundbite I'm playing for you is from a few years ago, probably over a decade ago. But his testimony is very powerful, and it shows the power of the gospel. It's about 9 minutes long, but it is worth every minute of your time. Once again, that is putting on display the power of the gospel. And I want you to hear Afshin Javed, former Hezbollah fighter on the cross in the desert.
Many of the images of Islam in North America are ones of fear.
So I walked in.
Afshin Javed is here to shatter that picture and the division it's created. He's been invited to give a talk on understanding the Muslim mind to a non-Muslim audience.
Muslims, so we think of them some crazy people that strap bomb and they blow themselves up, and that's what Muslims think. They think about Muslims. And so with that, my goal is to help people understand how Muslims are anything but that.
Javed is not an apologist for Islam. He's the pastor of Vancouver Christian Fellowship. But his life and incredible journey started as a devout Muslim in Iran.
My grandfather was a Muslim leader. My father was part of the movement of revolution of the Islamic Republic in Iran. I was the one that was most devout.
As he grew up, so did his dedication. And as a young teen, he joined Hezbollah.
I didn't think just praying and fasting is enough. So I joined the Basij, which you know here in North America as Hezbollah, and I served in that army for 3 years.
After a two-year stint in Pakistan, Javed was arrested in Malaysia for carrying illegal passports. He was thrown into prison. There, he had a strange encounter.
And I would just meditate in the verses of Quran. And once, as I was doing that, I felt just the fear just filling my heart, and I felt literally a presence of a spirit. This spirit immediately made me feel like my life is in danger. I knew in my heart what we call shayateen, or satanic, demonic spirits. So I started rebuking it in the name of Allah, and I just cried out in Farsi, my own native language, said, "God, help me." And the moment I said that, as clear as you hear my voice, I heard a voice. And that voice said, "Bring the name of Jesus." And the words that came out of my mouth sounded without thinking, "Jesus, if you are true, show me yourself." And before I was finished with the sentence, that spirit had ran away. And that is how my story basically began. That is not my story of conversion, but that's the beginning of my confusion.
Confusion because though Jesus is considered a holy prophet in Islam, he's not someone Muslims pray to or call upon. In the weeks that followed, that confusion grew.
Why would Jesus help you? How come Jesus' name did this, and so on and so forth? And so I asked and prayed and fasted that he would show me what way would he like me to follow him. And so after 2 weeks, I had no answer. And when I didn't have an answer and I didn't get any signs, it made me really upset. We must understand, in our mind, we are different. We are very passionate people. We pour our hearts out for someone. We would give our life for someone we love. And because I had given everything and I had not heard an answer, it made me very angry. And in rage, I yelled at God and said, "You don't exist."
As a Muslim, denouncing Allah was an unforgivable sin. But then he had another strange encounter in his cell.
And then I felt the whole room filled with the holy presence of God. It is as if time stops. You know things about God without him ever saying anything to you. The first thing I knew about him was his holiness. I knew he's a holy God. And I knew that he is just. And I knew immediately that simultaneously these things are going through my mind and my heart. And I knew I'm on hold. This is in spite of all the good things I've done in my life. I knew that I have sins in my life, and I knew that he's just and he must judge me, and because of his justice, I deserve death.
But that didn't happen. Instead, he felt a tap on his shoulder.
Right at that moment, I felt a touch on my left shoulder and a voice that says, I forgive you. And I did not understand how could that be possible, because I had heard Allah is forgiving and merciful, but we cannot know his forgiveness till the day of judgment. So I said, who are you that forgives me? And I feel forgiven today. And he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I did not understand what that means, because I had never heard those words. So I said, what is your name? And he said, Jesus Christ, the living God. I fell onto the floor, and I just wept.
He told his fellow prisoners what happened. Some shunned him, others followed him to faith. But Javi knew he needed more than his story, so he prayed for a Bible. His answer came through a fellow prisoner.
Then he reached out from his bag and said, this is for you, this is what you have asked for. And I looked at it, it's a book, there's nothing written on the cover, but I knew it's a Bible. Grabbed it out of his hand, forgot to thank him, ran to the room, thanked God, kissed it as we do, and when I opened it, it was in a language I couldn't read. So I thought, thank you for the Bible, but you have sent me the wrong language. And he said, no, read this. I said, but I can't. He said, read. And I said, but I can't. I don't know this language. He said, read. I said, and as I looked upon the page, the words came alive. I could read and I could understand.
It was written in English, a language he didn't know then, but one he preaches in today. His message is for everyone, though his heart is for Muslims. He's never shied away from sharing his story, though it's nearly cost him his life.
I went to a mosque in Bangladesh, and I shared the gospel in that mosque. And they decided to take me outside the mosque and kill me. But because the night before I had prayed for a lady and her son was dying, and he got healed in the name of Jesus, she came to the mosque and told everybody how her son had been healed. So the imams brought all the sick people to outside the mosque, set us down and said, pray for these people. Should they get healed? And should they get answered, you live. Otherwise, you die. And so we prayed and God answered. And they kept us there for another 6 days, forced us to go to their homes to preach the gospel to them, their children, and their children's children. Many times I wonder.
Today his ministry is more than just sharing his story. It's encouraging others to tell theirs. He says that's the only way to bring hope and understanding in a world of fearful images.
We need to share our testimonies. If a Muslim person is in your life, it's not because they need to hear my testimony. They need to hear your story. How you were touched by the love and the passion of Jesus Christ for you. And in the end, live a life so impacted by God, so full of His Holy Spirit, so full of His presence, that they would say, I want the same relationship with God that you have.
Javi's also written a book called As Easy as Drinking Water. It's a Persian saying, he says, pertains to the forgiveness he felt from Jesus that day in his jail cell. He says there are so many others out there thirsty for that kind of forgiveness and hope.
The sons of Ishmael are crying out because they are thirsty. They are thirsty for life. And Jesus is the living water. And you and I are the bearers. Out of us shall pour out the living water. But if we are afraid of them, we will not go close enough. Should I be the rock in their desert? And should Jesus flow out of me, their thirst will be satisfied.
In Toronto, Denise Lottie, 100 Huntley Street.
What a powerful, life-transforming testimony. Afshin Javid was completely transformed by a vision, an appearance of Jesus in his jail cell that showed him mercy and forgiveness. And Muslims always talk about the straight path, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What an incredible man who is impacting the Muslim world to this day with the gospel of Jesus Christ, who once was a hardened heart, a dedicated follower of Islam, of Allah and Hezbollah, transformed by Jesus Christ. As I reflect today on the coming solar eclipse and all of the hype and hysteria, it does remind me of one fact, that Jesus is coming. And Jesus, in all of his glory, will make an appearance in his second coming, and every eye will see him. And there is one song that has consumed me in the last several months that is so majestic, that is so descriptive of how Jesus touched Afshin Javid's life and how this whole solar eclipse is touching all of our lives. It is a reminder of what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 7, or John says of Jesus, behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. With that in mind, I want you to listen to this powerful worship song from Christian Stanfill, He Who Is to Come.
He is surely coming. Oh, can you feel it too? All this tension growing strong is just a sign he's getting close. He's already on.
Hallelujah! Yeah, the story has been made.
Amen. Is that the cry of your heart? Come, Lord Jesus, come. Are you ready? As we gaze in the heavens today and get a tiny glimpse of that majesty, don't forget, he who is to come, every eye will see him. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert. Have a great rest of the week.